98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Love talking to Max. Maximum Football every Tuesday here on the Doug and Wolf Show when the Super Bowl winning offensive lineman joins Doug and Wolf. And Max, we were just talking to Bobby Hurley, who literally got on a plane yesterday not knowing who he was going to play. And this last weekend, UCLA, or a little bit earlier than that, UCLA played Cal, and they didn't know they were going to play each other until about 2 days before the game. Imagine that from a football sense, when you know late in the week who you're playing. How can you even fathom what's the important key when something like that happens?
That mentally just kind of fries my brain, trying to even think about, like, flipping your mindset, especially when this is a team you haven't seen any film on for this year, and you have to make the adjustment. Whatever you were practicing, forget that, and just kind of create that bare bones approach and then try and move forward. I couldn't imagine football doing it. Basketball, I could see you can kind of get you can get through that in basketball, mm-hmm. but in football, it makes it that much tougher. That's a problem I would not want.
that's a great story.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, just the thought of actually getting on a plane and going somewhere where you don't know who it is that you're playing.
Technically, they didn't even know which tournament they were going to be in because there's two tournaments going on. That's what's even stranger about
that's
it.
Crazy.
Max Starks talking football with us. And Max, this is pretty cool. Cliff Kingsbury, former player at the Patriots, even though he didn't play very much, former quality control assistant under Bill Belichick, and now he's going back to take on Bill Belichick. In all of your years, because you guys played the Patriots almost every year that you were in Pittsburgh, what was the key? What was different every year about what Bill did defensively?
You know, it was just – it was so crazy because it was one of the biggest things I know. He would always decide on a different key of who to take away from your offense, even from the first time you play them to the second time you play them. And the way that they did it, they would use just multiple fronts to just harass those type of guys. And I think that's where it was so brilliant. And then they just always knew what your weakness was. You know, I can go back to the AFC Championship game my rookie year, and it was amazing how they were a different team from when we played them like week 7 of that year, because that was their 22-game streak. Remember when they were 22 games in a row undefeated?
Oh, yeah.
Toast to the town. They come to Pittsburgh. We beat them, and we beat them handedly. But then we get to the end of the year, and it's like almost like they changed their entire defensive look. They went from, you know, their 3-4 look to a 4-3 overlook, and then they started attacking us in ways that we weren't prepared. They loaded the box, dared Ben to throw, and then they forced Ben into a funnel to where he had to throw to where they wanted him to throw, dictated it. They picked him off a couple times. I mean, it's just amazing how they can adapt over the years. Now, this year, obviously.
I've been telling that to Wolf for years.
Yeah, they haven't done that job. But I think that's kind of what it is that Bill Belichick will go into any defense that will benefit his team the most. And he has the personnel that can be flexible enough to change your philosophy on the fly from one week to the next.
That's Max, what do you think he's going to do to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals? Do you care to venture a guess as to what he might try to take away?
Well, I think the biggest thing, I think he's going to take away Kyler's running lanes to the outside. I think they're going to play rush contain.
Yep.
And they're just going to dare Kyler to run between the tackles and then use their linebackers to fast fill and not play too far away from the line of scrimmage initially, and then use their safeties to kind of play depth leverage games, bump and run with the wide receivers. And really try and force this game into a phone booth for Kyler, because you give him green grass, you let him escape out to the wide side of the field, or heck, even the short side of the field. If it's overemphasized to the field side, you know, Kyler could cut you a million different ways. But if you force Kyler to where you create that snow globe around him, and what I mean by snow globe is you start to encircle him, you don't rush past him, you rush to him and retract in and compress, that's where Kyler starts to have his issues. And when we talk about the windows, right, the windows that Kyler has to throw to, when there's big bodies moving in and out or hands moving in those windows, it makes it a lot more difficult. Kyler's best on the run. He's best when you get him in situations where the rush is soft, he can see the field, or he can escape out either between the guard and tackle because the tackles ran the guy past 9 yards depth and then kind of cut out. Or if guys, you rush blitz from one side, you drop to the other, right? You overload blitz him, then he just goes to that side that's dropping, and now you force that curl flat defender to make a decision. Mm. Am I going to rush up to protect the line of scrimmage, or am I going to back off because he's going to pass it over the top of me to a guy dragging across the field? That's where it becomes dicey, and that's when the Cardinals are at their best. When you have to think or you have to pause your feet for a split second, Kyler can diagnose and make that decision better than anybody, and that's when they're at their best. And I know Bill Belichick wants to eliminate that.
I think more than anything, Bill Belichick probably wants to take the ball out of Kyler Murray's hand. And the best way to do that, especially in rundown situation where they run all of these zone reads, is to go ahead and actually don't collapse the edge. Play the edge. As a matter of fact, that's what Kyler Murray was talking about when he said after the game, they overplayed me. They overplayed me. They played to take the ball out of my hands, in other words. And I think he ought to oblige, just hand the ball off and run the ball in a north-south way. I think the Cardinals have to do that because I think the Patriots will do the same thing. Your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, if Sean Coogler has not been on top of that table begging for them to call running back design
Amen.
Runs. The fact that you have to say running back design runs is already in my head semi-preposterous. But to actually say, can you please give Kenyon Drake the ball? Can you just give him the ball in a normal situation? Can you allow five fat guys to go up there and bludgeon people and let Kenyon Drake pick a hole to go through?
Sure.
On a continual basis. And I think that's really where you see kind of the seesaw effect of Cliff Kingsbury, right? He's fighting his nature to go with the NFL, what the NFL's giving him. And I think that's where you see the struggle win sometimes, and then you see the struggle lose sometimes. And it just seesaws back and forth. But that's where Sean Coogler has to be standing in the middle of that seesaw and keep it balanced. He has to balance the scales and say, no, you must run to set up the pass. Look at what the Tennessee Titans do.
Man.
They bludgeon, then they break. Man. They break you. It is like a dam when
you gotta
that
have
crack
a base.
Runs all the way up. You must start with the base of
you
the run.
You have to have a base.
And then you can pass all you want.
All day.
But establish the run, because if you can suck that extra defender up to the line of scrimmage or have him looking in the backfield, peeking for that running back handoff, that allows a lot of your crossing routes. The middle of your field opens up. Dan Arnold is available, and Larry Fitzgerald is there. And then once you get that, then you open up the rest to Isabella and D-Hop and company, and everybody can eat. But if you don't acknowledge the run, teams don't care.
Max, you've got to have an ordinary, right? You've got to have an ordinary to have an extraordinary. There has to be an ordinary. And that, to me, is line up, inside zone, here we go. Boom.
And
come off the ball.
Run it two times in a row.
Right.
Just the threat.
Exactly. Run it two times in a row. Oh, and then can we – is it really – I realize I've never seen an air raid coach do this, but he keeps saying he's not an air raid coach. Well, if you're not an air raid coach, why don't you mix in one bootleg? Why don't you mix in and have guys actually have to follow Kyler when Drake's got the ball in the first place? What would happen? Coming up next,
quarterback sneaked at least.
More Max Starks. Crazy week 11 in the NFL. And who's the coach of the year? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We like to do this when we go through the NFL week with Max Starks. Wolf reacts. It's Maximum Football with a Super Bowl winning offensive lineman from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we start with Max's favorite team, the Cleveland Browns. as the Browns beat the Eagles 22-17 and one of your votes for Coach of the Year. Kevin Stefanski has the Browns with 7 wins. Coach, what's your takeaway from your defense?
Yeah, really proud of those guys. We talked all week. You know, you lose a guy of Miles' caliber, you're not going to replace him. You need guys to step up, and it's a committee approach. And I thought the guys really played hard. I thought Porter Gustin gave us some great rushes. I thought Adrian Claiborne did the same, and I mentioned OV before. So really proud of those guys.
50-yard touchdown return on an interception and a safety for the defense. So they pick up their own 9 points in this game, Max. You're just mad that I talked about the Browns.
Yeah, yes. I am so mad that this was how you started this conversation with this group. I mean, but here's the thing. For as bad as the game started for the Browns and Washington, and Philly, which you could pretty much replace either one of those teams. It's in the East. I mean, just put a face on it. It was actually impressive to see how that defense stood up. I mean, it's tough going against the Philadelphia Eagles, and I felt like the team really rallied around them. Baker finally calmed down and started making some plays. Nick Chubb, welcome back to the NFL. He had some big runs in the contest. The defense is good. I mean, it's not great. It's not stellar. But, I mean, they did a good job. And like you said, seeing the Browns with 7 wins is something that's just unheard of in the last, decade and a half.
Props to Joe Woods, of course, the defensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns, the new defensive coordinator. This guy has done a really good job, and they have a bit of a bend but don't break. Do a good job in the red zone and in goal-to-go situations.
The other side is the Philadelphia Eagles. And even if you want to rip the NFC East, as the nation is doing, and rightfully so, the Eagles are going to have a massive effect on the playoff seeds of the NFC. Their next 4 games, Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona. Everybody at the top of the NFC standings has an Eagles game, and everyone assumes they're going to win it. And you know somebody's going to screw that up and not win. The question is, who's going to be the Eagles quarterback? Is it still Carson Wentz? Did you think about pulling him?
You know, with the way the game was going and the elements, and we were just, really a score from putting ourselves back into this football game, I did not consider that.
Mm. Is it time to pull Carson Wentz, Max?
Listen, I mean, first of all, you gave up Nick Foles, your best insurance policy that you could have had. I don't know if you pull him at this point. I mean, granted, it did not look good. It did not look good by any stretch of the imagination. But I think at this point, who are you going to go to? Who is your better option? And I can't find it. Anybody on that squad that
not ready for Jalen Hurts, Max is.
Yeah,
definitely
honestly,
not ready for Jalen Hurts. No,
yeah,
no.
Right
Jalen
now,
Jalen Hurts is not going to be better.
I wouldn't make the move either. You've got to give Carson Wentz every opportunity to completely implode and fail. I don't think he's at that point right now, even though his quarterback rating is 73, and he's thrown 14 interceptions and has 14
you're
touchdowns.
You're talking yourself into it here.
I'm just saying right now, you can't give up on him yet.
Saints a 10-9 leader over the Falcons, and then they pull away in the second half with Taysom Hill as the quarterback. Taysom, how did Drew Brees help you this week?
Drew's the best. If I'm being honest, I didn't fully understand what it took to be a starter in the NFL until I got here, and I had the opportunity to learn from Drew. And
well, here's what's interesting. New COVID protocols this week for the rest of the season. You must turn in a 62-man roster going into the day before the game. Why? Not all are going to play, obviously, but it's only the 62 players that will be allowed on the field. So you have to, even if they're injured, you've got to leave some guys home, and you would think the Saints are going to want one of those guys in the 62 to be Drew Brees, even though he's not playing.
Drew Brees!
So he can be there with Taysom Hill. Max, what do you think of the Saints? Are they still going to be the one seed much longer?
I think they have a good shot to be that one seed. I don't see the taker that was going to be the best odds would have been Tampa Bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Tampa Bay has obviously proven that they have an aging quarterback, and he is not going to be the guy that you expected him to be in that game. And when you look at the rest of the Saints' schedule, Broncos going to Mile High is tough, but, I mean, Denver's in disrepair. The Falcons, again, in Atlanta this time. Eagles, and then Chiefs-Vikings. I mean, if they go 3-2 in that, let's just say they lost to the Chiefs, they lost to the Vikings, which I don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the other three are very winnable, and I don't see anybody else catching them in the NFC for that. Even as good as the Rams have been, it's still not a guarantee for them. So I don't see anybody else. I think New Orleans is going to be that outright one seed, and they're going to get the first round bye.
You know what's amazing about it? You watch the New Orleans Saints play, and they're very, very physical at the point of attack in their box defensively. They are very physical. They're very good at shutting down rushing attacks. And anytime you're good at that and good at getting after the quarterback, which they are, number four in sacks per attempt, you're going to turn over the opponent. And that's also what they do at an elite level. They turn you over.
Cardinals taking on the Patriots. Patriots coming off a loss to the Texans 27-20. Cliff Kingsbury with a history with Bill Belichick. Well, Romeo Crennel is the interim coach of Houston from the Belichick tree. He was asked, is it more special to win a game over Bill Belichick?
Anytime you go against a guy that you've worked with and that you've coached against before, a win is a good feeling, you know, and so feel good about that. But I really feel good about the fact that we were able to win a home game. And so we hadn't done that, so winning a home game was a big plus.
It's interesting that he admitted winning against Bill Belichick means something because it's special. And don't you think, Max, it's a big deal for Cliff Kingsbury to do it on Sunday?
Oh, it's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for Cliff to say, the last time I was in the NFL, I was working for you. And now that I have my own, you know, me and mine's, I want to show you what we've been doing over the last couple of times. I wasn't good enough to be your quarterback, but I'm good enough to beat your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Cliff Kingsbury has in the back of his mind, just like anybody else that comes from the Belichick tree. Ask Mike Vrabel if it means a lot to beat Bill Belichick when he was with the Tennessee Titans. It meant the world to him. So for former players who ascend back into the league on the other side, it means a lot. For coaches who come from the Belichick tree, it means a lot because it doesn't happen that often. So this is something that you're like, I got to have this game.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the Cardinals haven't had a lot of good luck against the New England Patriots in years past, even if it wasn't Tom Brady and it was Jimmy Beautiful himself, Jimmy G, that came in here a couple years ago and handed the Cardinals a loss. So, yeah, it means something.
I can tell you right now, I played 10 years in the NFL. I shouldn't have been there 10 days. My talent was the fact that I could generate or manufacture intensity out of thin air. I could manufacture desperation. And yet I will tell you, when I played the Pittsburgh Steelers and my brother Craig was on the other side, I found a deeper, higher, more profound level of intensity. So If that impacts me, I'm sure that it's going to impact Cliff as well.
Now I'm going to ask Bench to do something. We like to go rapid fire through this, but let's take the music down and go a little deeper into a stat I saw that I thought was huge, Max. Less than 3 yards a carry is what Derrick Henry averaged in the first three quarters of the Titans-Ravens game. 9 yards a carry in the fourth quarter and overtime. Does that mean sticking with the run does something?
Trying to do anything I can with the balls in my hand, to help our team win. And I'll get through the line, break up top to get north and south, and I was able to get to the end zone. But those guys doing a great job blocking. It wouldn't happen without the O-line and receivers, tight ends.
It is incredible. That game had everything you want. It had offense, it had defense, it had physicality, and the Titans beat the Ravens in overtime. Max,
I mean,
are the Ravens in trouble?
Ravens are in deep trouble. They are what we call deep doo-doo. They are knee-deep in it. They don't have an answer for everything that was great last year. It's now bad. And then you're going into this Thursday night game against the Steelers without your top two running backs. Due to COVID protocols. And that's a problem because when you look at how tough that game was against the Steelers the first time around and you let the lead slip away, that's been the issue with the Ravens, really. They can get on top of you, but they don't adjust in the second half.
Mm.
And they don't know how to adjust. And it ultimately pays off in a loss for them. So for the Ravens, they are in deep trouble. When I look at the playoff picture, they're not in it. The Tennessee Titans, I feel like, leapfrogged and knocked them out of the playoff picture. And you're looking at your seventh seed really being the Las Vegas Raiders right now. So now the Ravens have to say, we have to be one game better than the Raiders to even get into this playoff. Think about that phrasing. If we look at this 2 years ago, last year,
mm-hmm.
I need 14 to be one game better than the Raiders to get in. It's a far fall from grace, and it really shown their vulnerability that they can't adapt. For as great as they are on the ground and as great as they are at tight end, there's no consistency there at the receiver position. Willie Snead, Marquise Brown and company have to figure something out. And defensively, they also have to make key stops. I didn't see the key stops that they needed to. They could not tackle. Did you see Derek Wolf on the field after the overtime? He was pissed. He looked defeated. Like, I have hands. I lift weights. But he doesn't go down.
You know, it's like I always say, Max, offensive football provides hope to a football team. And if you get down by two possessions or more, boy, you can almost see it. It drains the Baltimore Ravens, that hope, especially in a fourth quarter game. You can tell. They don't have that hope.
I realize we're an NFC town and you might not be following it, but if you haven't followed it, to Max's point, there's seven playoff teams in each conference. Right now, the 3 through 9 seed are all separated by a game. The AFC is that tight. 7 and 3 are the Bills, Colts, Titans, and Browns. And the fight for the 7 seed is Vegas, Baltimore, and Miami all at 6 and 4.
Vegas, baby.
That's crazy how hot it is between 3 through 9. Two very good AFC teams are not going to be invited to the dance. Coming up next, the Cardinals have a new D lineman, and maybe one is soon to return. That's next. Latest news on the Cardinals roster coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Max Starks. Maximum Football. Maximum Football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle Max Starks.
Are you laughing at the booze again?
Every time. Makes me laugh. Every time. Just knowing how Max, one of the nicest guys on the face of the planet. Now, I know you've got another side, Max, but still.
We've all got a little we always got a little hide to our Jekyll. You know that.
You absolutely.
Do me a favor.
Fall out.
It's two questions rolled into one. I don't know if it happened on a stunt or a twist or of some kind. I don't know if it happened timing-wise in your career. But am I safe to assume, as an offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North, you have put your hands on one D'Amato Pecco at one point in your life?
7 years. 7 years, Doug. 7 years going against D'Amato Pecco. He's only two years younger than me.
Well, A, why is he playing and you're not then? Let's go.
Apparently, D lineman, because you go forward and you don't have to go backwards that often, makes a lot easier on the knees, so to speak.
That makes sense. All right, give us a scouting report. What's he bringing? I realize he's a 35-year-old man, and he's actually going to turn 36 in a couple days, but what's he bring to the table for the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I think D'Amato, and here's the one thing, he's a very smart player. He's a guy that has played in multiple schemes. He knows how to play and shed off blocks. He knows how to split double teams. He has that intrinsic leadership value that you look for on a defensive line. You want that experienced guy who knows how to play the game. And I think that's what is really, I think, in his repertoire and in his wheelhouse, is that he's a guy who could fit into a system. And he doesn't need the glory. Like, he's a guy that for a long time was taught to penetrate, cause disruption, force flow to your linebackers, cut off the intersection point on the backside. Like, he'll always play the backside to prevent cutbacks and keep a running back funneling forward. So he knows how to do that. He knows how to shed and split. I think getting that pressure up the middle on quarterbacks is huge and important. And I think that's why you bring in a D'Amato Pecco, because he is a true one technique, zero shade type of guy who can play on the ball, close to the ball, and play off a center. And so he brings a lot of experience, a lot of toughness, and he's one of those guys. I mean, he's a big poly boy, and you know, he has that island strength.
Yes.
So, and with age, it doesn't go away. It only gets stronger. He just doesn't move as quick. But he's gonna clog the middle. And I think that's what the Cardinals need. When you're talking about the run game issues, he plugs it. He's the cork to that bottle that seems to be open. And now it allows Angelo Blackson to really flourish more in the three technique.
Mm.
So I think that's what you bring to a defense when you bring in a D'Amato Pecco.
You know what's so amazing about him, Max? I actually ran into him yesterday. I was over there doing the Cliff Kingsbury show, right? And suddenly there was D'Amato Pecco. It just blew my mind that he was sitting on the wall as I was making my way out. And he just was so friendly. He was so friendly. It just blew me away. Do you know him to be that way? How was he on the field, Max?
Listen, all Polynesian guys are great when they don't have a helmet on. FYI.
It's so true. They
are salt of the earth. He probably would have given you the shirt off his back. But when they put a helmet on,
yep,
they put the jersey on, it's a different switch. And Pecco wasn't a guy that talked a lot. But nonverbal communication was very which I can appreciate. It's just one of those things, like, you know, when you got knocked down, you're trying to hit him on something, he'll smirk, he'll smile, you'll see it behind the face mask. Or it's just one of those things, it's what I do, you know. And he definitely has, you know, he would celebrate TFLs and everything. So, I mean, he has that innate ability. I feel like all Polynesian guys have that.
It's just amazing.
Nice, amazing human beings. All of I've never, well, Haloti Knott is my one exception, but that's a whole different thing. That's one I can't give credence to. Everybody else I can, but Haloti Nada.
That's personal.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's personal.
I think a lot of you know, but in case you don't, years as a Pittsburgh Steeler offensive lineman and then going right up against the Bengals twice a year, and that's where Pecco was drafted out of Michigan State. And I don't know. I remember this because I'm a draft Nick, but just so you remember, Max, he has a college touchdown, by the way. So where were you at getting your college touchdown? Come on.
Yeah, no, that didn't happen. I mean, the best shot I had was my freshman year when I was the jumbo tight end, and that didn't happen.
Oh, so that's sad.
And then I went to the league and was a jumbo tight end, and the one time I get to show my wares during training camp.
Yum.
During Friday Night Lights, which I'm sure Craig has talked to you about a whole lot, Wolf, I had a cast on my hand.
Oh.
And Ben throws to the cast hand. Mind you, I put the good hand out. He throws to the back shoulder as I'm running a drag, and Ike Taylor's behind me. And he's like, I gave you your shot back. So I'm like, that doesn't count. You throw to my back shoulder with a DB on me to a casted hand.
Never forget those.
I didn't know you were an excuse guy. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, never forget though, Max. Once a jumbo tight end, always a jumbo.
Oh, it's still in there?
Never forget that.
It doesn't leave you. The other news you need to know about the Cardinals, not only the signing of Pecco, this doesn't mean he'll play Sunday, but Zach Allen has been removed from IR and moved back up to the actual team roster. So now he's on the 53-man roster. What that means is, though, he can practice.
Yes.
Now, he could play this weekend,
right,
but it means the Cardinals have opened up a three-week window to determine Zach Allen's health before he comes back. But if he's healthy, you would assume he's playing on Sunday. That hopefully will change a lot in that D-line room, who suffered massively from the injury front.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at where they're at, I mean, just this defense has been battered throughout the year, and you want to have some semblance of what this team can do. I mean, you got to get Zach Allen healthy, because I feel like the run is the susceptibility for this team. You know,
no
when
doubt.
It comes to that run defense, and if you don't have the bodies to actually – do what you need to do, it makes it a tough world. And I think that's why you need Zach Allen back. That's why you bring on a Domata Peko, because, you know, you need to fortify the middle of that line. You know, as good as we've seen Angelo Blackson flash, as good as we've seen Jordan Phillips flash, you got to have that consistency. And when you lose a Corey Peters, that's tough to have to try and replace. But that's when you replace it with quantity, not necessarily quality, because you need to have fresh bodies who can attack, who can bludgeon at the point of attack. Because if not, it's going to be a long rest of the year, second half of the season.
Not only that, Max, too, you know it. Bill Belichick right now, this is a guy that is going to line up and he is going to run the ball against that defensive line room that does not exist. Yes, now all of a sudden you've got Zach Allen back. Think about it. They're five,
Cam Newton running.
They're five top defensive linemen, all on IR, except for Zach Allen now, who's just been kicked back. Think about that, Max. Mm-hmm. How decimated that room has been. I mean, Jordan Phillips, Corey Peters, Zach Allen until today.
And one of them's an all-pro and Chandler.
Though
he's not going to be lineman type.
That's a game rotation right there. And the fact you didn't have them, that's just brutal. And you've got a Patriots team, number four in rushing yards per game and number eight in rushing yards per play with Cam Newton. They snap it to Cam and run the power with Cam Newton. It's an awesome – I love seeing it. Every time I laugh out loud when I see him run Cam Newton on the power. But they're going to attack the middle of the Arizona Cardinals defense.
And that's their only bright spot, too, when you think – for all the woes they've had in the passing game, the run game's the only thing they can hang their hat on this season. It just hasn't been a connection with Julian Edelman and company and N'Keal Harry and everybody else. It just hasn't come to fruition. Yeah. And they are a run-first, play-action type of team. You're not going to get, you know, five wides. You're not going to get the four wides. You're going to get, at most, you know, trips. You get three wide receivers and a tight end. And then, like you said, it's going to be quarterback option, quarterback zone read, quarterback power. We're going to play it in between, hand it to Rex Burkhead, hand it to James White, and they're going to try and outpossess you. They're going to try that. That's their only way of victory is to outlast you, right? To keep Kyler Murray off the field. And that's what they're going to try to do, because that's the other game plan. When you talk about eliminating the team's best player, keep the ball out of their hands by keeping yourself on the field. Amen. And that's another thing they're going to do.
Yep.
All right, last thing is trivia with Max. The Broncos saved you, Max. The Broncos beat the Dolphins. Tua Tagovailoa, if he would have won, would have tied the rookie record for having five wins in a row starting his career. He only had four. Do you know who has the record?
Yeah. He was my quarterback, my draft mate, my locker mate.
Big Ben.
Guy by the name of Ben Roethlisberger.
There you go. So your record is still safe.
But Ben actually has a longer record. You have to remember, we went 15-1 that season.
I remember.
And the only loss was when Ben came in the second half against Baltimore because
Tommy Maddox
got injured.
Your XFL MVP.
I played with
that's
Tommy.
That's right. Yo. That's right. Tommy Gunn.
Tommy Gunn.
That's right.
There we
go. Well done.
Hey. So he had 13 technical wins because you include the Jets playoff game. So
that's,
anywho.
That's real. That's real.
Tua has a long way to go.
That's real. And now he can't get there. Hey, Thanksgiving to the family.
Max.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Man, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Enjoy. Wolf, no pumpkin pie. Just go straight with the apple pie.
That's
apple
right.
Crumb.
That's right, man.
I can handle both at the
Max,
same time.
Thank you.
See
God
you, Max.
Bless you, buddy.
Hey, take care, guys.
Max Starks, Super Bowl winning offensive lineman, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You in the market for a new or pre-owned Nissan? Go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. Paul's call opens for Gallagher next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbedding.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no. Your call.
Should have run
no,
that latest UFO
call.
Story.
No, it's your call.
Hey, nitwits, it's Paul's Call.
You know, what's that blowing out of Las Vegas?
The autumn wind is a Raider.
The autumn wind is talking Raiders football.
Yeah. And it used to be.
It's James Harden, Mike! Yeah. James Harden!
We got a taste of this last preseason. Derek Carr dropping some, not audio, but an audible against the Cardinals. Remember this?
Hey, go J-Lo. Hey, J-Lo, Phil Mickelson. Hey, go J-Lo. Hey, J-Lo, Phil Mickelson.
And of course,
that's awesome when they do that.
Derek Carr ain't the only one.
Rex Ryan,
right? Tommy,
that's my favorite ball.
Tommy is famous for trolling. You again?
Rex Ryan.
But now in 2020, no fans means no problem hearing all of Derek Carr's audibles.
Here we go. Hey, lava rage! Lava rage!
Yeah. They have some audibles on this team too.
I'll show you.
Purple walrus. LA.
Purple walrus.
There you go.
I mean,
he's full of crap.
I mean, come on now. At Andy Reid's expense?
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen.
I don't know.
Might be a double.
I don't know. You know. Now, on Sunday night, we heard a lot of different audibles, right, including we heard Chris Mullen, and again.
More than it used to be.
James Harden, Mike. James Harden.
And then the Raiders trolled on Twitter, quote, well, he didn't pass it. James Harden, meaning no pass, it's a run. Yes, there'll be no. When they go James Harden, that means no passing of the ball.
Lane to the rim and throws it down with authority.
Right.
Put some stank on it.
Well, that's what Derek Carr's been doing with his audibles. and then if the Raiders are going to run left, he names left-handed NBA players as well. As we heard Pistol Pete. And then he throws out like Phil Mickelson when he runs out of basketball players.
Put some stank on it.
Right. And then he names right-handed NBA players and they run right. In the Raiders opener, by the way, this story here says that Derek Carr yelled out Cindy Gruden, the wife of his head coach.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Which prompted John Gruden to joke to the media, quote, I don't know what he's been up to at the line of scrimmage, but better keep my wife out of it from now on.
I tell you what, man. I tell you what, man.
Caliendo is
pretty classic, right?
Is here to fire. Bisotto shotgun of sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and the Chiefs' motivation for revenge in the Raiders' direction.
So the Raiders not only beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead back on October 11th, but afterwards they apparently got in the team buses and they did a victory lap around Arrowhead Stadium.
Were you aware of that? I did not hear that.
Holy moly.
The Raiders, when they won at Arrowhead earlier this year, Gruden had the team buses take a victory lap around the stadium.
Victory!
Does that sound like Gruden, Paul?
That's some solid trolling right there, if true.
The only thing that matters is whether or not Kansas City uses it as motivation, which is what they're doing. Andy Reid's been talking about it all week.
That was Sunday morning going into the game. Andy Reid used it as a motivational tactic.
I'm pumped!
Right.
Woo!
Yeah. So, speaking of, the Cowboys had a press conference yesterday.
Whoops, excuse me. I got something in my eye. Just had some Tabasco on my finger and went in my eye.
That's wrong.
Good.
No.
Ouch.
Not Mike Nolan. Coach Mike McCarthy is asked this question. Play the clip.
When you take your sledgehammer on the road, can you put it in the overhead bin or do you have to check it?
What?
Well, that's the beauty of flying charter. So it's packed in a nice safe bag.
Mike McCarthy on how he packed a sledgehammer.
Makes no sense at all.
See, they're calling the Cowboys' win over the Vikings the sledgehammer game because of a Coach McCarthy pep talk.
Saturday night at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week. One of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands.
What's that old saying, Bugs?
I speak softly,
right,
but I carry a big stick.
All right, well, somebody hand-coached the big stick because he packed it in his carry-on.
At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer that you can knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons.
McCarthy said they also had to pack their own watermelons on the road trip because you can't find watermelons in Minnesota in November.
Oh, you betcha,
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
It's BYOW.
Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective. Bam!
Bam!
Pow! Smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked.
McCarthy admitted later that he had no clue how much water is truly in every watermelon.
Smash, smash,
right.
Smash.
Hang on, there's one big watermelon left.
Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I got to get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon.
That's good stuff.
So,
great ball.
And it's cause and effect because it turns out DeMarcus Lawrence actually recovered a Dalvin Cook fumble.
An anvil slam.
That's right. So Coach McCarthy breaking down the sledgehammer pep talk.
It's important to have fun. You're always trying to, you know, create emphasis in your messaging, and that's really where it came from. We're just using the approach, just honoring a great comedian, you know, Gallagher, and it's just an idea that came up, and we went for it, and the players were into it, and we had some fun with it.
I got to tell you, especially this year, Paul, as much as these guys have to feel like a robot with the testing and the boredom and the rooms and everything else, and now you mix that in.
Yeah. By the way, what did Jarrah say?
They got to jiving around.
No.
It carried a little too far.
Jerry Jones says he was not in the ballroom and he didn't get a bill from the hotel yet, but quote, I will.
Stop the hammering.
That's what that's according to Jerry there. So, by the way, you know what? We'll get to this tomorrow. Big finish.
Wrap it's time it up. Once again for No Comprendo.
Things that make us say
No Comprendo.
Like really bad passwords.
2.5 million people still use the trusty old 123456. The record, it takes less than a second to crack.
So some type of IT tracking foundation came out with the worst passwords of the year. And once again,
2.5 million people still use the trusty old 123456.
People.
The record, it takes less than a second to crack.
It takes less than a second to crack.
No comprendo.
I mean, people, up your password game.
Also, passwords being used the most by Americans, the slightly altered 123456789, 111111,
okay.
Number of times they found password as the password.
Yeah, so, I mean, America.
No comprendo.
Come on now. It's
how
almost
many people, Paul, said? 2.5
million people still just use 123456.
I shouldn't say this, but I've seen, my dad has complex passwords, but they're all written next to the computer.
comprendo.
That's right. Come on, Dad.
That'd be problematic.
That's right. Dad, if you're listening, all right, that's you. Ball's gone.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to CarolHasTheBuyers.com. That's CarolHasTheBuyers.com.
My big takeaway from today's show is after listening to Max Starks, I don't think last year's 14-2 Ravens team is even going to make the playoffs.
Wow.
Sorry, my dad still calls my youngest brother at least once a week with an IT or DVR problem.
I think the Ravens will rally. We'll see. Peace and strength. A week or two before he could trust the fact that his knee wasn't going to fly out his butt.
No comprendo.